Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, this is Family of Faith, the podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible, and I am Paul Funchess, pastor of Family Ministries, and I am at my home right now. We are under stay-at-home orders, and so we wanted to continue our podcast, but we're at home, and so I'm at home with my sweet wife, Christy. Christy, thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Sure.
And so we're here, and you will probably hear something in the background at some point. William probably screaming or crying. Kids coming in and out. Actually, our kids are downstairs, our oldest four, and they're playing. What game are they playing?
Risk.
They are playing Risk. And so I don't know how that's going to go.
It's a proud moment for you, right?
Yeah, we have. It is. It is a good thing for them to do. And we have three of our kids laying down for naps. So
four, right?
Well, William's laying down. Yeah, yeah. That's true. So anyway, this is going to be unedited, and we don't have any. We don't have any way to edit. We don't have any way. So you're going to get the raw. Like this is it. This is what you get. And I did think it would be good for us to just have a conversation about what's going on. And so what we've done, here's what we've done. I've come up with just a few questions to ask my wife, and she's come up with a few questions to ask me. And here's the deal. I don't know what she's going to ask me, and she doesn't know what I'm going to ask her. It's just going to be candid conversation. Candid conversation with Christy.
Odyssey style.
Yeah, candid conversation with Christy. If you're a fan of Adventures in Odyssey, that's a show that Connie Kendall, you know. So we have candid conversations, but I'm going to call it COVID conversation with Christy. That's what I'm going to call it. And
I have a pre-question question.
What was that?
Were they supposed to be about COVID-19?
No.
Oh, good.
No, the questions aren't. The questions don't have to have anything to do with COVID-19. I have tailored my questions for you kind of about this time and kind of what you're doing and thinking.
Oh,
and,
gotcha.
But okay. That's
one
okay.
of mine pertains.
Okay. Well, that's good. So this is raw, unedited. This is good. So, obviously this is a time that, we've never gone through, and, it's unreal. Like I do the grocery shopping now, and Christy likes that. By the way, I spend way more money than Christy does when I go shopping. I go shopping, and somehow the grocery bill is a lot more when I come back. But
but you also bring back a lot more Tillamook.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really a win.
Yeah, there you go. So let's just jump into this, and let me ask you some questions and see. See how we do. Again, this is just a really strange time. And I've said to myself many, many times, you know, this is just such a crazy time. And I don't want to waste it. I know this is a special opportunity that we have. And I'm not talking about just using all my time to binge watch things. What I'm saying is I don't want to waste what's going on for my sanctification and for my family. It just is so many things that are serving as a wake-up call right now for us, I think, I hope. And as a church, I'm hoping that we are growing as a church in what we believe about the church and the sweetness of the gathering and how precious we hold the actual gathering, the actual physical gathering of the saints. So many things are coming out of this crazy time. And Christy, I have questions I want to ask you. So I'll ask you.
Okay.
And then you ask me.
That sounds good.
Okay. All right. So I'll start with this.
Okay.
In light of that opportunity idea, what is the greatest opportunity for growth that this time has given you? In what way has it challenged you to grow, or in what way would you see this as an opportunity for growth for you?
That's a good question. Sometimes I feel like you can't truly know those answers until you're through the situation and you're looking back, will actually be the greatest. But
in so it's a bad question. I'm sorry.
No, it's not a bad question, because I think that we should be thinking, what are we learning and how are we growing in the midst of this? So for me, I think that I can tend to be someone who doesn't feel like I deal with fear or anxiety a whole lot. And so my natural reaction to something like this would be like, well, I'm not anxious, or I don't feel fearful about this. And, you know, that's not how I'm going to approach it. But I think that it's been a good thing for me to realize that everyone has anxiety or fear. Some may have it to a greater degree than others, or everyone deals with it differently. But for me, I think it's been good to be honest with myself and with you, like we've talked about that. Instead of just kind of pushing it away, or, you know, kind of like the optimism thing of, well, you know, we can get through this, we'll be fine. So I think that just for me personally, kind of working through being honest about that, and then dealing rightly with anxieties or fears. Yeah. It's a whole different game to be able to tell someone else, or to have all the right answers of how you should deal with anxiety or fear.
Yeah.
You know, the right passages, the right heart level questions, but then to not just have those answers, but to kind of practically apply them as the various trials and temptations of life come at you, because every day is different. You know, some days you might feel great, or another day, like if you couldn't find what you needed at the store, then all of a sudden it's like, feels a lot more real. And well, what if this happens?
Yeah.
So
yeah. And
I think that's as where I'm at on that.
Yeah. As your husband, you know, I experience your, you know, one day you're doing great and not really anxious, not fearful, or at least what we would see typically as fear or anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, you know, you're discouraged or you're anxious about, you know, and for us, a lot of your, I don't know if I'd call it anxiety, but a lot of it, your focus is on trying to grow flowers right now. So, the interruption routine and all that, as far as trying to get this flower garden, all that kind of started.
Project. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, trying to deal with it from that side. And I think you talked about heart questions and all that. I've made the mistake a lot of times of trying to be your counselor in the midst of anxiety and fear, and instead of being your husband. I was just reading something recently. Somebody had shared that same kind of idea of the wife, you know, to her pastor husband, you know, are you my counselor? Or are you my husband right now? You know,
interesting.
I know we felt that way before with me.
Yeah.
Trying to ask you questions to get to heart level and really not just being your husband.
You know? Well, that's good. I think there's times obviously where I need that from you. And then there's other times where I feel like you wisely are just kind of like, it's okay. I'm here with you.
Yeah. So you have a question.
Oh, I have a question for you. Well, I'm going to ask you my second question first, because it kind of goes with what we were just talking about.
Okay.
Okay. So, and this is something we have talked a little bit about before, is that, when I think about the COVID-19 and, you know, people getting sick, people dying, that can, you know, you have this general understanding that that's could be sad or possibly dangerous. But I think when you think about maybe real people in your life that it could truly affect, it's kind of a different thing. And so I have a couple nephews, you know, that have cystic fibrosis. And so through this whole thing, I think they've been kind of the biggest on my mind. And you know, if I'm going to feel fear or worry, it's when I think about them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I know, first of all, I can't control anything. They're not around here. They're not even my, you know, responsibility. And I, of course, totally trust their parents and know that they've taken care of them for a long time.
So what's your question?
So my question is, first of all, just that that kind of fear looks different when it's like in a real living situation. And then my question was, like, as a mom with your kids, so sometimes I think that we can kind of think, I don't want to let my kids know that I'm fearful about anything, because you're also trying to shepherd them mm-hmm. with something they might be worried about. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they can see into my head. But is that something that you should talk through with your kids more to be an example or to show them, like, hey, mom and dad have stuff that we might be worried about as well, and let them see into that? And and that is kind of specifically in this situation. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
So if I'm understanding your question right, it's should we talk to our children about what we're afraid of or what we're worried about?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, yeah, at first blush, I would say absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. You want to be careful not to overwhelm them. Again, that great illustration from Corrie Ten Boom mm-hmm. when her father, you know, they were on a trip when she was a younger lady, and she remembered it later on as she was going into some very difficult times. Her father, she was asking some questions of her father, and her father set his suitcase down and said, you know, can you pick that up? And she couldn't. It was too heavy for her. And he said wisely, he said, you know, and there are some things in life that you know, you're too small to handle. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you know when it's time for you to carry that. So you want to talk about your fears and anxieties and worries in a way not to burden your children mm-hmm. with adult cares. I mean, we have adult concerns and cares. I try to be very careful about talking about money. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about financial situation in front of my kids. I don't want to talk about world problems in such a way mm-hmm. to make them feel like they have to carry it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I want to be real with them. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about my worries and my fears because they're going to know when I'm worried or fearful, mm-hmm. whether I talk to them about it or not. I mean, so I could say, well, I have a belief in a big God and a God who's sovereign over all things, but my speech and my actions could communicate fear. Mm-hmm. So what is that teaching my children? If I'm telling them how big God is, and yet I'm living and acting and speaking in such a way that says I have a very small view of God, then really I'm communicating to them a hypocrisy and a duplicity. I mean, I'm not really being honest with them if I don't communicate. So I think it's really good. We have a couple of kids who are fearful a lot mm-hmm. about different things, anxious about different things because they want to control. Mm-hmm. And it helps them for me to say, you know, daddy's worried about mm-hmm. things too. Mm-hmm. I'm fearful. And so with the COVID stuff, I think my approach has been to be sober about it, mm-hmm. you know, to communicate the reality of it, that there are people who are passing away from mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. We want to be concerned for people. We want to be cautious in the way we interact with people, but not because we don't think God's big and in control of everything, mm-hmm. but because we want to care for people and mm-hmm. we want to be burdened for people's souls. And I do want to lay that burden on my children, especially those who are professing Jesus.
That's true.
I want them to feel a weight of the temporality of life. I want them to feel that. I think we make a mistake when we don't talk to our children about death.
Yeah.
You know, obviously for me, most of you already know, I grew up in a funeral home. Death mm-hmm. was part of my everyday life. I mean, mm-hmm. I saw death every day. My dad did that for a living. And so death is something I thought about a lot. Mm-hmm. And probably unhealthily so. But there is a measure in which we want to be real with our children, and we don't want to burden them, and yet we want them to understand that life is short, mm-hmm. and they will meet God. And we want to be honest with them about that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you have anything that you would add or
no, I think that's really good. And just, you know, kind of what I'm hearing is just asking the Lord for wisdom, kind of to incrementally, even as far as the ages and what you know about your kids. And
can I have water?
Yeah.
My throat is like killing me.
I think that's really good. And then just the thought of,
by the way, my wife had water right next to her, so I was asking her for her water. I wasn't asking her to go get me water.
No, I think it's a good to think about, even as we're talking about the possibility of people being sick and passing away, that ultimately their souls is what we need to be burdened thinking for. About yeah. and burdened for, yeah. too. That's really good. I honestly don't know if I had gone there yet.
Well, I hear a lot of people talk about, well, this, we have a neighbor that will stand out and talk to us sometimes, and he'll just talk about, well, this thing is not that big of a deal. There's more people that die of the flu. And I hear people reason like that. Mm-hmm. They use reasoning like that. It's like, well, whether or not this is killing as many people, we don't really know how many people that this is affecting, but and I don't know that we will ever know really a final number. Even if it's far less than die in the flu season, it's still real people. This is not a number. Mm-hmm. This is not a made up number.
Yeah,
these are real people. Every single one of these people, it's a soul. It's a life that's perishing. We want to be burdened by that.
Yeah, that's really good.
So my turn to ask you a question.
Okay.
let me just, I don't know if I'll get through all these questions. We might run out of time. Let me just ask this question. It's kind of what has annoyed you during this time, because some of our life has changed here, you know?
Yeah.
What has been the most annoying to you in your change situation? And transparently, not a whole lot of our situation has changed. I have to be here, so maybe I'm the answer. I have to be here, but we homeschool, and that's not been a huge change. Mm-hmm. There has been change in schedule and routine. Mm-hmm. Some of that's been a blessing, because we don't have to run around taking people different places and all that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I do the grocery shopping and that kind of stuff and run errands. So there have been quite a few things that have been kind of nice in this time. I hate to say that, but it has been a blessing in disguise.
Oh, yeah, to be together for sure.
So, but what's annoyed you?
Okay. I do have an answer to this, and it's actually sort of embarrassing, but the biggest thing that has annoyed me is myself. Because with you here, I feel like I have an extra set of eyes, if that makes sense, like on what I'm doing. And so I feel like the normal things that I would be discouraged about, or I would feel like, oh, I'm not doing good enough, or oh, this is a mess, or man, those dishes are still there and they're not dirty. Like all of a sudden I feel like someone else is seeing into that even more. And then it's kind of like embarrassing. And then I think, well, why am I worried about that? That's like selfish, or I know that he doesn't think that way. And so then it's just kind of exposing to me how I value, I don't know, things running smoothly or stuff being in order, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And so there's nothing, like you said, not a whole lot has changed, and the things that have changed have been good and very like pleasant and enjoyable. But it's just been really interesting to me in my own mind to see that even when like really good things happen, I still can react sinfully, and I still can struggle just with selfishness or wanting to be seen a certain way.
Yeah, even
does
when
that make sense?
I've not set those expectations on you.
Exactly.
I've not said, this is what I want my house to look like.
Or, exactly.
And so those are expectations you've placed on yourself.
Yep.
your measure of rightness. You know, am I going to live up to this projected assumption that I've put out there? So you're annoyed with yourself.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just that. Yeah. Just the fact that like all those things that you would think.
So what do you do in that time when you're annoyed with those false expectations or with that false standard that you set out there that you can never achieve?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you do in that?
Okay. So what I've been trying to do is, you know, obviously, first of all, think about what's true and just remind myself, first of all, yes, I am capable of sinning that way and much greater. So I don't need to be surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I need to remember what's true about,
we have our first
visitor.
Yes, sir.
That's okay. Fine. Go ahead.
Go, potty. Go. we're doing a podcast, bud. So go ahead and go to your restroom. Go back and nap.
I think about what's true, just about you and I, your love, your faithfulness, even support, even when I don't feel like I deserve it. I think about that. And then just sort of try to persevere as far as like keep doing the work, keep doing the organizing the kids, washing the dishes, whatever, like just not drowning in, oh, I'm never going to get on top of everything, which that's what's funny is, I mean, I fight that anyways, you know, during the days and during the weeks. But I think with you here, there's just a desire to, I don't know, have everything be really perfect and nice. Yeah. So, yeah.
Good. So.
Okay. You ready for my next one?
I'm
okay.
Ready.
This is, I haven't talked to you about this, but I've been thinking about it for a while. So I'll try to say the question first. My question is, how as a mom can I, with young boys, and then even thinking about them as older, start kind of teaching them Proverbs? I've been thinking about just how important it is, just for me as a parent, to be meditating on Proverbs for the wisdom. But then I really feel like with boys, that's just something that they really need to have grounding in. Sorry, that wasn't a laugh for what I was talking about.
Yeah, my son is asking me to come help him. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Do, 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 do. Okay.
I'm back.
So I've just been thinking how important it would be for young boys to have, or for boys in general, to just be really well versed in Proverbs. And so I'm kind of thinking I have a 4-year-old, and then I know he's really young, but like a 5-month-old boy. And I want to start almost having it be like a daily or a weekly thing. What do you think?
Okay. So the book of Proverbs is divided into two halves, really, when there's other, couple different arrangements, but or sections, I should say. The first 9 chapters is really one apologetic for wisdom.
Ooh.
And so the first 9 chapters is meant to be taken as a unit, and it's this long case that the king makes for wisdom and the value of wisdom. So I would actually take most of my material for your son or for your daughter from those first 9 chapters, because that is the case made for wisdom. And it touches on so many. In fact, I would say the rest of the Proverbs really is fed off of that first 9 chapters. The rest of the Proverbs from chapter 10 on is mostly a collection of individual sayings, There are a couple places where you have a small unit, but mm-hmm. most of it's just like what we think of as a typical proverb. Mm-hmm. The first nine chapters aren't that way. Right. So as a parent, I would go through the first nine chapters. You see a really important theme kind of as bookends for that first nine chapter, and it's that the fear of the Lord mm-hmm. is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I would use that as the starting place. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean? It means to have God in his rightful place and to have me in my rightful place. And so true wisdom is about having God where he belongs and me where I belong, and using his law and his instruction as my guide. Mm-hmm. And so Proverbs 3, right? Mm-hmm. 5 and 6 and 7. Familiar, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. So again, I would take those first nine chapters, and as a parent, as a mom or as a dad, I would take some intentional time and live in those chapters mm-hmm. first. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to teach it to your children, you have to know it and understand it. So you want to live in it. You want to be very familiar with what it's saying, and then just plan out some times to do some intentional instruction. And again, you can use the one-off proverbs, you know, throughout the rest of the book from chapter 10 and on, but your foundation is going to be found in chapters 1 through 9.
That's really so good.
That's just off the top of my head. I mean, I would say, you know, it would be a good thing for our pastor to put something together for the first nine chapters. I wish we had pastors that were good about thinking about things like that. But that would be really good for you as a parent to live in those first nine chapters mm-hmm. Of Proverbs. It really, I think what you're saying about having sons, really good, because he's talking to his son.
Yeah,
so that's what it deals been... with sexual immorality and the danger of that wicked woman, but it also talks about wisdom as a
the woman.
Woman.
I was listening to it this morning and like hearing that contrast of the two voices calling to young men.
Yeah. Yeah, the woman wisdom mm-hmm. calling out. And wisdom is really living according to what God has said. Mm-hmm. Living, wisdom is that attribute of God by which he made the worlds. And so his wisdom his wisdom courses through his creation.
Yeah.
The way that he has made the world to work. And in Proverbs, we have that way, the way that the world should work and the way that man should act and live. And so it's just really, really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful.
Helpful, maybe not practical. I didn't give you too much practical there, but that's a good question. let's just ask one more question a piece.
Oh, okay.
Because I think
okay.
we're running. Do you have a couple more that?
No, that's great. That's okay. Great.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How can I love you better during this time?
Aww.
Well, I think that's a good question. That's an important question to ask. So how can I love you better? What can I do practically or, you know, in my approach to life and home to love you better?
Well, I think you've been doing really great.
Okay, next question.
No, I think that it would just be, when we have time that's just us, you know, maybe before the kids get up or after the kids go to bed, just that, you know, just that time would be intentional too. That doesn't mean it would look the same every day, but, whether we're talking through stuff, which I feel like we do that already, but
the time just with me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because with the kids, we're doing
reading
stuff.
Right, we're kind of exactly.
We read stuff, and we have kind of a routine, and mm-hmm. we're fairly. I mean, fairly.
Yeah, I think we're in a. Yeah, I think we're in a really
sweet
good
place.
Routine.
Yeah. But just with me and you.
Yeah.
So what do we do? I can't remember. What did we do last night before we went to bed?
You know, I was thinking about that this morning. I feel like I was working on something. A lot of times, I think by the end of the day, we're kind of trying to catch up on either returning texts or, you know, communication or whatever.
I was doing a crossword puzzle last night.
Oh, that's right.
I think I was doing crossword.
We did one together a couple nights ago. That was fun.
Yeah. So
yeah, I know I'm not giving you really good, specific stuff, but I think that that's the only thing.
I think that's good. I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that, that time right before we go to bed.
Yeah. And something I've been working on is sometimes you'll be like, okay, let's go to bed. And I'm like, okay, but I'm waiting for you to get up or you're waiting for me to get up.
And an hour later.
Yeah. And so sometimes I'm like, okay, if he says, you know, let's go to bed, I just need to stop what I'm doing and get up. But yeah. I think sometimes we've both said this, you're so tired, you're just sitting on the couch and like too tired to get up to go to bed, but just, I don't know, telling me like, okay, let's stop. Let's go to bed.
Let's go.
I probably need that.
Yeah. Well, I want to love you better.
Well, that's sweet.
Oh, it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. Question. Okay. Yeah. I don't know which one to ask. So I'll just do my third one. Okay. So the question is, what percentage of time do you think myself or a mom should use reading good things online or on social media? So obviously we know there's a lot of stuff that can waste our time or that could, you know, just not be a good use of time or could even be bad information, but there are things out there
that are good.
And so I've been thinking, I don't really have any particular thing that, oh, if they put something out, I'm going to read it. But then there are times where I read things and they're really good and encouraging, but I also feel like it's just so easy to fall into the trap of spending too much time. For instance, like, would it be better to spend 5 minutes reading somebody's lengthy Instagram post about something good that will be helpful? Or what, you know, if I have a little kid running around, would it be better to just play with them? So, I mean, the answer, it's not like an either or, but do you have any opinion on that?
I feel like the question touches on a lot of different things. I think, well, the common rule that you've read recently, is helpful. And I was just reading that this morning, getting ready for a conversation I have with somebody. you know, we think that the freedom to choose what we want when we want is important. Like this idea of, and I'll use the word liturgy, the liturgy of freedom. Like, I can choose what I want when I want. And we really value that, I think, sometimes. And yet that freedom liturgy leads to enslave us because we don't make good choices. We end up kind of doing what we feel like in the moment, and our life doesn't have much of a direction oftentimes when we don't give it structure. And if you say, well, I'm just not that structure kind of person, well, you know, I'm not saying that there's not an element there of that's honest and real, but you need to make, you know, take control of your choices and give yourself parameters. So is Facebook bad? For some people it is. Is social media bad? For some people it is. For all of us, there should be a limit, and maybe setting up a time that you do that for a certain amount of time. And then as far as sources go, I'll say this on sources. People bag on the blogs and stuff, and yeah, there's bad stuff out there for sure. There's some bad stuff from some good websites. Okay. There's some good stuff from some bad websites. There's some bad stuff from some good websites. You know, you can't control all of it. And I would say that you probably want to have a couple of podcasts/blogs/websites or whatever that you really pull from, and maybe have a time every week that you set aside to look at what's, you know, they're usually, you know, the blogs I look at or the websites I look at usually update daily. So I can look at, Like I can look at one of those websites one time a week, two times a week, and really get everything they've put out there.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Instead of daily.
Much better than daily.
Because of COVID-19, I've been on Facebook for the first time ever, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I had an account, but this I've been on Facebook trying to communicate with people, mm-hmm. and I hate it. Mm-hmm. So I try to keep my, you know, I look at it maybe a couple of times a day, mm-hmm. but I try to have designated times where I do that. Mm-hmm. Another work, and I've mentioned this before by Cal Newport, is this deep work idea. If I'm going mm-hmm. to get things done, I've mm-hmm. got to have uninterrupted, undistracted time. And especially in the type of work I do, I've got to have opportunity to have undistracted, uninterrupted time mm-hmm. if I'm going to study and really do effective work. And I'm slow. I think I'm realizing that more and more. It takes me a long time to work through things in my mind. And so I just need that time. And if I'm looking at Facebook or if I'm looking at email, if I'm looking at text or if I'm looking at different things throughout the day, I'm never going to get that time.
Right.
And so setting up those times where you do that purposefully mm-hmm. and then creating mechanisms in life to hold you to those mm-hmm. times, mm-hmm. Really taking control of your choices.
Yeah, that's good.
Take control of your daily and weekly choices. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we have done recently, and you could, you know, you and I might differ on how much of this we've done because you're not an entertainment type person. I like movies. I like that kind of stuff. We haven't done a whole lot of that mm-hmm. during this time. Mm-hmm. That's intentional because yeah. we know how much it just gets, you know, kind of gets out of control. Mm-hmm. So once or twice a week, we've done some type of movie or entertainment, mm-hmm. which is more, I think, than probably regular. We would maybe have once a week or so where we would do that before. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make us righteous. You know, we're not giving you a rule. This no. is not a law that we're putting out there, but it's just so easy to entertain our time away.
Yeah. I noticed you do that kind of right off the bat when we knew schedules were going to change. It was you kind of preventatively, I don't think you sat down and said, this is what we're going to do, but I just noticed you were really
I said to you,
intentional.
We just need to be very careful with.
Intentional.
any other questions?
I don't have any other questions. I was going to say, you were talking about deep work. Since my question was about a mom, I really do think that as moms, we can feel like we're not doing deep work. Mm-hmm. We're not in an office. We're not, you know, in our mind, turning things over, crunching out numbers or content or whatever. But I think that it does help to look at your kids around you and even, you know, the housework, everything that swirls around, that is your deep work. If that's the season that God has you in, I think that would help me to think of it that way.
As a mom, you're going to have much more impact on that little boy or little girl than any pastor will. And I want you to understand that, you know, pastors, we spend a lot of time studying and we want to feed people the word of God. And we want to make sure we're right and accurate in what we say. But I'm telling you, there's not a pastor on the face of the earth that's going to have more impact on your son or daughter than you will, mom.
Yeah.
And so
in the home,
you talk about that deep work. That's significant.
And I think what I'm, you know, my thought train from that is that is work that's worth putting your phone or putting your access or whatever away completely, even for hours at a time, so that you can be deeply kind of focused or attentive to that work that you're doing, even if it feels chaotic, even if it doesn't feel like, you know, and I think that would be probably bear fruit in the long run.
Last question. I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yeah. Okay.
And you have to answer it in one sentence.
Okay.
What right now are you most thankful for?
I am most thankful for more time with my husband.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
That's good. And on that, I think we should close.
And on a high note.
Well, Faith Bible Church, we love you. Hopefully, if you have an opportunity to listen to this is an encouragement to you, or Just a reminder to you, and I'm looking forward to the day where we can gather physically together again. Until that time, Lord bless you.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.